Morning. Today's daf is Yudbeis and Makos. Last fold off of the second parak of the Masechta. This parak is dedicated to the topic of Ritzach B'Shogei. Someone who kills and does so inadvertently, not being perfectly careful about his actions, and as a result of his actions, and because of his carelessness, so somebody died. As we've been learning since the beginning of this parak, he's sent to Galus, and he's going to be released. And his release date is not actually on the calendar, but it's going to be when the Kohen Gadol dies. And so with that in mind, so we are now starting the Mishnah on Yud Aleph Amud Beis, and we're talking about now the release date as it is related to the Kohen Gadol. Now, we already learned in yesterday's daf in the Mishnah on Yud Aleph Amud Aleph that it could be the Kohen Gadol who is invested through the Shemana Mishcha or invested through Meruba Begadim, that he's wearing the 8 garments as opposed to the 4, because after Melch Yoshio, the Shemana Mishcha was put into Geniza. Or it could also be that he was at least temporarily the Kohen Gadol. So if any one of those Kohen Gadols were to die, so then he's going to be released. That part we know for sure. But what we're learning now very specifically is which Kohen Gadol is he going to be attached to? His wagon is going to be hitched to a Kohen Gadol, and I don't mean that literally, but in other words, in the figurative sense, and which Kohen Gadol are we talking about? So the Mishnah here outlines and details that information for us. Mishnah Mardino makes Kohen Gadol. So let's say after the Gemar Din, the Kohen Gadol dies. Areza in Ugola. So he's not going to be sent to the Gullus, meaning there's no need for him to be sent to the Gullus because now he had a Gemar Din. There was a Kohen Gadol. Now the Kohen Gadol happened to have died even before he went into Gullus. So the Mishnah tells us now he's good. In other words, he's released. In fact, not only is he's released even before he went. However, but now the Mishnah tells us as follows. Let's say during deliberation, the Kohen Gadol dies. And before the deliberations come to a conclusion, and before the verdict has been rendered by the Beis Din, another Kohen Gadol has been appointed. Okay, so in a quick turnaround in terms of the Kohen Gadol. So now, but he does have a Kohen Gadol at least at the time of the verdict. It's the second Kohen Gadol now during his trial. But in other words, he was there for the verdict. So Nigmar Dina below. I'm sorry. So Chozer bin Mitzvah Shosheni. So now his wagon is hitched to the second Kohen Gadol, meaning even though this person was not a Kohen Gadol during the actual Ritzicha, and he only was invested as a Kohen Gadol, appointed as a Kohen Gadol only during deliberation, still this Rotzeach is going to be connected to the second Kohen Gadol, and so therefore he'll be released with the death of the second Kohen Gadol. Right, like
the death of Kohen Gadol, even before he gets there, releases him, so it should be a proof that the God Adam cannot kill him then.
Okay, fine, could be. Okay, Nigmar Din below Kohen Gadol. So let's say he had a Gemar Din and there was no Kohen Gadol. So in other words, there were between Kohen Gadols, whatever the case was. So Nigmar Din below Kohen Gadol, Hori Kohen Gadol. Let's say he actually killed the Kohen Gadol, meaning the victim was a Kohen Gadol. Or Kohen Gadol Shaharag, or let's say the Kohen Gadol was the one who was Rotzeach B'Shogeg, Einu Yotze Misham La'olam. So since he has no Kohen Gadol to hitch his wagon to, so now, what's his release date? Exactly. There is none. Meaning, because in the absence of a Kohen Gadol, he just simply has no time to be released. There is no release point. V'Einu Yotze La'olam Mitzvah V'La'olam Mamah V'La'olam Nefashos. Now, let's say now he's sitting in Galus, and there's a really good reason why he needs a furlough. Just temporarily, I need to get out of Galus because he knows testimony about the mitzvah, meaning let's say he saw the new moon. Or let's say he has testimony regarding a monetary case. Or let's say he has a testimony regarding a capital case. And even if the entire Jewish people need him. And even if he is, or like I should say, Yov ben Surya, general to the Jewish people, we all need him. He's never allowed to leave. Shin Namar, the Pasuk says, Asher Nas Shama, Shamte Dirasu, Shamte Misasu, Shamte Kvurasu. And the Torah says, no, Torah says that's where he goes, meaning Galus is where he is to be for the foreseeable future. I would say indefinitely, but of course not indefinitely, but until the Kohen Gadol dies. But until that point in time, there is simply no excuse, no reason, no justifiable reason for him to go out. And that's where he's going to be. And Kishim Shahir Koletis Kach Truma Kolet. Now the Mishnah gives us another detailed halacha, and that is what exactly is going to provide him the sanctuary. Obviously, being in the city proper is going to provide him sanctuary, but even being in the Tchum. Right, Tchum is usually, we use in reference to Shabbos, meaning Shabbos you're allowed to walk up to the city perimeter and 2,000 amas outside of the city perimeter. That's called Tchum, 2,000 amas. So over here, obviously this is not a Shabbos halachas, but still, the idea is that Tchum is considered still interior to the city, even though you're exterior to the city, but there is this there's this cushion, there's this buffer of 2,000 amas, and that also is going to provide the Rotzeach a klita.
Set his own tchum. He determines where tchum is going based on where he puts the food. No, and this is a set tchum for the entire city.
For the city. In other words, there's a tchum for the city. What you're considering is that the person's not in the city. So then the tchum will be set by where he is. But in other words, if a person's in the city.
I thought that if he like before Shabbat started, if he brought his food and set it at a certain
He could
time,
reposition. He could reposition his tchum.
Right. So he has that ability to determine where the tchum starts and ends.
But that's not going to change the tchum of the city. Okay. Anyway.
Oh, I see. So there's an individual tchum and the
right. In other words, right. Right. So kach tchum kolay rosech sheyatz chutz tchum matzu goel hadam. I'm sorry. Rosech sheyatz chutz tchum matzu goel hadam. Okay. Now, simple scenario where he was a rosech. There was a din, determined that he is a Ratzach B'shogeg, he's now singing Galus. And he exits, and he leaves. So obviously now the Gol Adam has permission to kill him. But when we say permission, what does that mean? Meaning this could be a spectrum. It could be, it is acceptable if he kills him, it's recommended that he kill him, it's a mitzvah to kill him. So where are we exactly on the spectrum? So Rabbi Yosef Gli Omer mitzvah, Biad Gol Adam, Rishus Biad Kol Adam. So Rav Yossi Galili takes a super interesting position, which is mitzvah, meaning the Gol Adam is not just accepted; it's acceptable for the Gol Adam to kill the Rotzech, but mitzvah to do so. In fact, goes even one step further. Let's say somebody else encounters the Rotzech having left the Ir Miklat. Somebody else has the license to kill him. Rabbi Kiva Omer Rishus Biad Gol Adam V'Chol Adam Chayav Nalav. And Rabbi Kiva drops it down a notch. Rabbi Kiva says, no. For the actual Gol Adam himself, it's just simply rishus. It's a permission. Meaning, we're not going to tell the Gol Adam, hey, look, I hear the Rotzeach is out of the Ir Mikla. Go get him. So, in other words, Gol Adam has the permission to do so, rishus, but it's not a mitzvah. Now, as far as everyone else is concerned, so here, the Mishnah is, I would say the Mishnah is clear, but the gears of the Mishnah is not clear. The Mishnah says, Gol Adam chayav nalav. If I read the Mishnah the way it's presented in front of us, that means no one else has the right to kill him. In fact, if anyone else were to kill him, bibi chayv misa, meaning that would be an act of ritzicha if anyone else were to kill the rotzeach who left the Ir Miklat. However, the Gaon, and this is based on Rishonim, actually insert a very important word in the Mishnah, and that's the word ein. The Gaon reads Rabbi Kiva's position as Rishus biad gol adam v'chol adam. Ain chayav nalav. That if somebody else were to kill him, doesn't have permission to do so, but ain chayav nalav. Meaning you're not going to be tried if you do so. So in other words, it's somewhere between don't do it, but if you do it, you're not going to be convicted. Okay. According to the Gaon's reading of the Mishnah. Rav Yossi Aglili, there's a difference. I'm not sure if I'm capable of articulating, but there's a difference between Rishus versus Ein Chayav Nalav. Rishus still means that you have license to kill, meaning it's open season. Okay, you don't have to go, but it's open season. Ein Chayav Nalav is basically we don't recommend it. I know it's really a subtlety. I myself am not totally convinced that I see the difference, but it's. That's if you read the Mishnah like that. If you read the Mishnah the way we have it, so then it's very clear what the difference is. Meaning, according to Rabbi Kiva, no one else is allowed to kill, period. Mm-hmm. That works out a lot better. My time, Amar Abai Kavachomer. Okay, we are looking now at the first halacha of the Mishnah. First halacha of the Mishnah is that there was a Gemar Din. He didn't even get to Galus yet. And then after the Gemar Din, the Kohen Gadol dies, and He can go free. So the Gemara says, "Uma mishagala kvar yatzah achshav mishalo gala eno din shalo yigle." So the Gemara says, and look, the argument over here is very strong. For the person who's sent to galus, so the death of the kohen is going to release him. If you're not even yet sent to galus, so then for sure the death of the kohen gadol is going to release him. The Gemara says it's an argument, but the argument is not compelling. V'dilma hayde gala ichberle hayde lo gala lo midi. I'm sorry, hayde lo gala lo. So the Gemara tries to throw a wrench in the argument. Look, when you're sent into galus, we can make the following argument. You're sent into galus, already you served time. So since you served some time already in galus, so already now you have like a little bit of a kapara, and then the death of the Kohen Gadol, that's going to totally release you. Masha Ein Kain, if you didn't serve any time yet in galus, so maybe the argument is the death of the Kohen Gadol is not going to be enough to release you. So we could construct an argument that runs counter to what we just said. Gemara says no. Miti galus kamechaper, misas kohen hu de mechaper. Gemara says no. Being in galus does not provide any kapara. Meaning being in galus is just simply a holding cell. Or in this case, a holding city. In other words, but it doesn't provide any kapara. Really, the kapara is all about the death of the Kohen Gadol. As long as there was a Kohen Gadol at the time of the Gemara Din, his death is going to be serving your release. Whether you were in sent to galus or you were not sent to galus. Because really everything revolves around, everything is contingent on the death of the Kohen Gadol. Now it's true, we said, if you remember, this is not that long ago, we said in the beginning of the Masechta on Daf Beis, at least the Gemara entertained the idea of sending for the Edim Zomimim, that they should go into galus in order to provide some sort of kapara for them. And so yes, it was actually a thought of the Gemara earlier, that going to galus in of itself provides some sort of kapara. And generally, we do know that going into exile does serve as a kapara. The Gemara statement over here that galus is not really the kapara at all, and really the entire release is all based on the contingent on the death of the Kohen Gadol. I understand it doesn't work out so perfectly. And Tosfos is already sensitive to this, and I'm not going to go through it. But take a look at the last Tosfos on this Amud, where he's sensitive to the issue of our Gemara seems to clearly say that galus is nothing other than just a holding city. Continuing in the Gemara, Imashlo Nigmar Dina Bechulei Mina Hani Mili. So Amar Rav Kana Amar Krov Yashaba Ad Mos Hakohen Gadol Asher Mashach Osa B'Shem HaKodesh. The way the pasuk is phrased, it sounds a little bit strange. It sounds like you go now to the Ir Miklat and you stay there, right, until the Kohen Gadol who you anointed dies. What the Gemara asks the obvious question: V'chi U'Moshcho? What? The Roseach anointed the Kohen Gadol? Obviously not. Elazesh Nimshach B'yamav. So it must mean that as long as a Kohen Gadol was installed as a Kohen Gadol prior to the verdict, he is going to now be connected. This Kohen Gadol is going to be connected to this Roseach. Now, this is a little bit strange, and we already made this comment in the Mishnah, but let's just highlight how strange this is. This particular Kohen Gadol was not installed as a Kohen Gadol during the actual murder itself. In fact, the murder already took place. I say murder, by the way, it's Ritzicha B'Shogeg. But the murder already took place, and now the guy's already taken to court, and we're already somewhere through the deliberation of the court. And one Kohen Gadol died, and now another Kohen Gadol's installed, and now because he was installed before the verdict, so now this Rotzeach is connected to the second Kohen Gadol. What responsibility would the second Kohen Gadol have to this Rotzeach? Now, we already stated previously in this parak that what the Kohen Gadol needs to do is he needs to daven that nobody kill one another b'shogeg. So, certainly we all understand that the relationship between the Kohen Gadol and the Rotzeach is based on the fact that the Kohen Gadol himself has some liability. He didn't daven hard enough to prevent the murder. But this particular Kohen Gadol was installed after the murder. And he was installed right in the middle of deliberation in the court. And as long as he's installed before the verdict, he's now going to be connected to the Rotzeach. Rotzeach is now going to be connected to him. But what is that? So the Gemara asks exactly that question. My havale lema'aved. Hayla levakesh rachamon shikmar din lezachas v'lo bikesh. And so the Gemara says, I'll tell you where the Kohen Gadol now, what his responsibility was. We're in the middle of deliberation. The verdict hasn't been handed down yet. So you know what the Kohen Gadol needs to daven? He needs to daven for a exoneration. For a verdict of innocence. And if the Kohen Gadol, and if he didn't receive a what's it called? a not guilty verdict, part of that rests on the shoulders of the Kohen Gadol, who needed to daven for a not guilty verdict. That's fascinating. Amar Abai Naktin, and the Gemara quotes, Abai says we have the following tradition. Nigmar Dino Ameis Malichinus Atzmosav L'Sham. Let's say that he has a Gemar Din, and then he dies. So the bones, his bones are taken into the Ir Miklat. Dechsiv, L'Shiv L'Shevitz Ba'aretz Ad Moshe Kohen. He has to go Ba'aretz. Ba'aretz literally translates as into the ground. Ve'ezu Yeshiva Shi Ba'aretz Ha've'am Zekvura. So even being buried in the Ir Miklat is going to provide some sort of basic kapara requirement. Okay. And again, we just a moment ago, we talked about how really it's the death of the Kohen Gadol, and the Ir Miklat is just simply a holding place. But still, the idea is that even post-mortem, being in the Ir Miklat serves as some sort of kapara.
It's not just protecting him against Gol Adam, but it's also
the right kapara. Right. It's right. Tana, we learned in the Braisa, Meis Kodim Shemeis Kohen Gadol, Molichin Atzmosav Al Kivrei Avosav. So the Braisa over here says that if he dies before the death of the Kohen Gadol, so his bones can be taken to Kivrei Avosav, can be taken to the family burial plot. Dich, Siv Yashav Aretzeich Al Aretz Achuzasov. Ezi Yeshiva Shib Aretz Achuzasov, Aviyam Rezekvura. So his Eretz Achuzasov means that means being buried in his family plot. Nigmar din Manasseh Kohen ben Grusha ben Chalutza. Okay. Now the Gemara deals with another really fascinating halacha. He's tried and convicted as a Rotzech B'Shogi. He's now going to be sent into Galus. And there was a Kohen Gadol at the time of the verdict. And so now he is hitched to this particular Kohen Gadol. And so if and when this Kohen Gadol dies, so he's going to go free. And then what happens? The following discovery. The Kohen Gadol is not a valid Kohen Gadol. He is either a ben chalal, a ben grusha, or ben chalutza, which now means that he just discovered this, and now he is totally devoid of kedushas kohen. Obviously, he's going to step down from being kohen gadol, no longer going to serve as a kohen gadol. What does it mean now for the rotzeach b'shogeg? So you really have two options, and the gemara brings down both options. Pligi bar Rabbi Amiv Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, chanam ra misa kuhuna v'chanam ra batla kuhuna. Is this now going to be considered like the kohen gadol died? In other words, now death over here. Not a physical death, but spiritually he died. No longer serving as a Kohen Gadol. Had to step down because he's a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. He's a Chalal. He's devoid of Kedushas Kuhuna. So maybe it's like his death. And therefore the Rotzech can now go free. Or maybe no. Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, obviously the discovery took place now, but what does that really mean? It means that he never was a Kohen Gadol. Meaning we all thought he was eligible to be Kohen Gadol, but he was never qualified. So that now means then, that truth be told, is that the verdict took place during this Kohen Gadol, but he was never the Kohen Gadol. So what does that really mean? It means that he had a verdict with no Kohen Gadol. And as we already learned in the Mishnah, a verdict with no Kohen Gadol means an indefinite stay in the Ir Miklat. And so maybe that's going to be the result. So the Gemara brings out that this is the machlokus between Amorayim. Lema bil plukta the Rebbe Lazar of Yeshua kamifligi did not. So the Gemara says now, maybe this machlokus can be connected to another machlokus that we know of amongst the Tanaim. Let's say the Kohen's been serving for years in the Beis HaMikdash, doing the Avoda. And then, again, unfortunate, but discovery that Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, he's devoid of his Kedushas Kahuna. He no longer can serve in the Beis HaMikdash. So, from this point going forward, there's nothing to talk about. He's done. Every Avoda that he's done up until now, what becomes of that? What's the status of that? So, in other words, I gave my carbon to this particular Kohen a week ago, a month ago, a year ago. Do I got to repeat? In other words, was the avoda that he did previously, is everything now going to have to be redone, resubmitted? Rabbi Lazar Omer Kol Karbon Hashei Kriya Psulim, and Rabbi Lazar says that's right. Everything he done historically is going to be possible because again, Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. The discovery took place now, but obviously it's a discovery. He always was the Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, and so therefore all the carbonas that he brought previously are going to be no good.
Sitz
helps for tumma.
Nothing else.
Right. Correct. Let me first just finish the point, and then Rabbi Yeshua machshir, and Rabbi Yeshua says no, it's kosher. Rabbi Yeshua says that everything he'd done historically is acceptable. Obviously, we didn't know, so therefore it's acceptable, and only from this point going forward is he no longer considered a Kohen who's able to do the avoda. And just one second. So the man da'amar meisik Rabbi Yeshua, man da'amar batla k'Rabbi Eliezer. And so what now the Gemara is going to do is a simple alignment. It seems pretty clear that the machloksim of how we view the Kohen Gadol vis-a-vis his discovery of Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, as far as the Rotzeach is concerned, is a parallel machlokus to Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer regarding the Avoda. So the Gemara says like this, Aliba to Rabbi Eliezer, we're now on the very top of Yud Beis Amad Aleph. According to Rabbi Eliezer, Kulei Amalo Pligi. So look, as far as Rabbi Eliezer is concerned, we are fixed in terms of how we're going to view Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says everything historically is trashed. Nothing he will do, nothing he did in the past is considered good. And again, it's the position which is the easiest to understand, at least for me. Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, we just discovered it now, but of course, that was true since his birth. And so any avoda that he did is simply no good. And so therefore, I would say that according to Rabbi Eliezer, vis-a-vis the Rotzeach, the Kohen Gadol discovered that he's Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, but of course, historically, that means he always was. Which means that he never was a Kohen Gadol. So that means that this Rotzeach is not hitched to this Kohen Gadol. So for Rabbi Eliezer, we're kind of locked into one position. However, ki pliga libet to Rabbi Yeshua. But however, within Rabbi Yeshua, there's room to maneuver in that. Mandamar Mesik Rabbi Yeshua. Now, the position that says that, now we know Rabbi Yeshua says from here going forward, obviously he can't do the Avoda. Historically, it's okay. So if you subscribe to the position that the Kohen Gadol, who discovers that he's a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, is now considered like he's dead, that works with Rabbi Yeshua and that works very well. However, Mandamar Batla, but I could still say that vis-a-vis the Rotzeach, we're going to say that he never was a Kohen Gadol. Vis-a-vis the Avoda, we can make a split decision between history and going forward. Because, Ad kan lo kamer Rav Yeshua asam dechsev barech Hashem chelo, ufol yadav tirtzeh, afilu chalam shebo, aval hacha afilu Rav Yeshua moda. And here's why we can make a split decision. Because when it comes to the Avoda, we actually have a pasuk. This answers your question. We actually have a pasuk when it comes to the Avoda. In other words, like I said, the position that's easiest to understand is Rabbi Eliezer. He's a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. That didn't just happen. It was only discovered now. But obviously that goes back to his birth. So I can easily make the argument that every avoda that he's going to do and that he did is not good. What's Rabbi Yeshua's counter-argument? It's not an argument, it's a pasuk. Meaning the pasuk says, Barech Hashem chelo fol yadav tirtzeh. That even though it's chelo, even though it's chulin, even though he is a kohen devoid of kedusha, as long as he didn't know that, and as long as he did the avoda in that state of not knowing, so fol yadav tirtzeh. So Akash Baruch will have ritzu. Akash Baruch will accept it, will allow it. But even as we darshan the pasuk, it is muted, it's mitigated only in the case where he didn't know that he was a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. Once he knows he's a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, then obviously he does not have kedushas kuhuna, and he knows it, and the avoda will not serve and will not work out. And what is Rabbi Eliezer, right? It's fine. What is Rabbi Eliezer going to do with that pasuk? The Gemara does not fill in those dots. I don't know. Okay, it's a fair question. So that is how we can make a distinction between avoda, where it's a gzeiras hakasev that the avoda historically will check, as opposed to the Kohen Gadol who learns his Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. It could be even historically he's not. We view it as if he never was a Kohen Gadol. And consequently, this Rotzeach is not going to be hitched to any Kohen Gadol. Okay, do me a favor. Ask me after. Okay, right. Yeah. Right. Danny just asked me that question. I don't know. Yeah. In other words, right. Any right. This Kohen Gadol now is retroactively removed. No, right. Well, that's one possibility. One possibility is like he died. The other possibility is that his record is expunged. He never was Kohen Gadol. And nobody's released. That's exactly the point. Nobody. That's right. Because nobody has a Kohen Gadol hitched up to. Okay, continuing in the Gemara, Nigmar Din v'chulei Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Okay, we mentioned in the Mishnah how as an exiled Rotzeach, you can leave never. Okay, and even if it's for the best of reasons and the best of purposes, and the Mishnah went so far as to say, even if Klal Yisrael needs you like Yoav ben Tzruya, you're the general of the Jewish people. If you're in Galus, that's where you are. You're in Galus, and you stay there. Okay, and I'm Rav Yehuda Merav. Shtei Toyos Ta Yoav Ba'Oso Shah. You know, Yoav made two mistakes. Now, let's just a little bit of background. You listen carefully enough to Haftarah last week's Parsha, so you're totally on board. David HaMelech is dying at the beginning of Sefer Melechim. So David HaMelech is dying and he says to Shlomo HaMelech, look, you're going to be the next king, but a couple of loose ends need to be tied up. I'm being nice. I'm being gentle. And the way I'm describing it, you got to read the first parak inside. It's, you know, it's rather remarkable how David is instructing Shlomo with detail, take care of him, take care of him, take care of him. So one of the hymns is Yoav ben Tzruya. So Yoav ben Tzruya, the general, David's general, so it was killed Avner ben Ner, killed Amasha. So and David HaMelech says, look, I never took care of Yoav ben Tzruya, but you Shlomo HaMelech, you take care of him. So then the Navi goes on to describe that David dies and Shlomo HaMelech sends for Yoav ben Tzruya. Yoav ben Tzruya knows now that he's being hunted down. So what does he do? He runs to the Mizbeach. He holds on to the corners of the Mizbeach, to the horns of the Mizbeach, the corners of the Mizbeach. And and they just pull him off. And they say, okay, you're coming with us. And his thought process, Yoav ben Tzruya's thought process is that corners of the Mizbeach, the Pasuk says, so, me'im Mizbechi velo am Mizbechi. That if somebody's on the Mizbeach doing the Avodah, so just like the Ir Miklat is going to provide sanctuary, so too, pun intended, the sanctuary is going to provide sanctuary. But sanctuary over here, very specific, meaning, and the Gemara is going to make this point very clear. You have to be a Kohen, you have to be on the Mizbeach, you have to be doing the Avodah, so then you get at least a temporary reprieve from even capital charges. So far, so good. Yoav ben Tzruya now is holding on to the Karnas of Mizbeach, and they pulled him off. And now the Gemara is just basically counting the number of mistakes that Yoav ben Tzruya made in thinking that he's going to be given at least temporary sanctuary. So tell Yoav ba'oso shah dichsi vayinas Yoav velo Hashem v'yechazek b'karnos ha-mizbeach. So he's holding on to the karnos ha-mizbeach ta. So here we go now. Count up the mistakes that he made. Sheinu koled ala gagav utaf is b'karnos sav. You have to be on the mizbeach. Can't just simply be holding on to the corners of the mizbeach. Two. Ta sheinu koled ala mizbeach beis olamim v'utaf is mizbeach shoshila. Additionally, you have to be on the Mizbeach of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, of course, for him, that's going to be a slight problem because it wasn't built yet. Okay, a detail. Now, we have now, our Girsa of the Gemara is that he was holding on to the Mizbeach Shel Shiloh. It certainly sounds like from our Gemara that Shiloh is not considered good enough Mizbeach where it's going to provide sanctuary. Now, that admittedly, that's a little bit difficult because Shiloh is a Beis HaMikdash, meaning, and it existed, slightly underrated, 369 years. That's a long time to have a Mizbeach b'Shiloh. Rashi says that he's not happy with the Girsa of our Gemara, because Shiloh also has the status of the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi says that what we're going to do is take out the word Shiloh and we're going to replace it with a Bama, meaning he was just holding on to a Mizbeach, not the Mizbeach. Meaning Rashi, if he were holding on to the Mizbeach Shiloh, so that also has the status of a Mizbeach. So Abai says, I'll count up another mistake. Bahanami mitata ta she'enu kolet el kohen va'avoda biyadov huzar haya. Another not so small detail is that it only provides, the Mizbeach only provides sanctuary for the person who is a kohen doing the avoda. Yoav ben Tzruya, of course, was neither a kohen, and of course it goes without saying, he wasn't doing the avoda. Okay, so those are the three mistakes that were made, basic mistakes that were made by Yoav, in that he thought the Mizbeach was going to provide him some sort of sanctuary. So the Gemara takes a moment to launch into a little bit of Agadata. Reish Lakish says that the Sarash of Rami, the ministering angel of Rome, is going to be making similar mistakes. Tichsiv, Mizve Bami Adam Chamutz Begadim Ibatzra. The Navi Yeshayahu is giving a very graphic depiction of, again, Kaviyachol, as if we can just entertain this idea, so that we understand. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming back from Basra with his clothing all bloody as he just killed Sarash Shalom. It's a depiction just to give us a sense, an idea. But within this depiction, Toeh, so Sarah Shalom now is thinking as follows. Sheinu kolates ela betzer v'hu gola labatzra. So one mistake that Sarah Shalom made is that he thought he was going to an Ir Miklat. He looked it up and he read Batzra, but meanwhile it's Betzer. Meaning Betzer is one of the Ari Miklat, but he read it as Batzra, so he went to the wrong town. Okay. He typed in the wrong address. Number two, Toesh She'enu Koletes El Shogeg V'hu Mezid Hayam. On top of that, he thinks that it's gonna provide Klita even B'mezid. But it's not true, of course. In other words, it's only for Shogeg. And Toesh She'enu Koletes El Adam V'hu Malachu. And also, yes, the Ir Miklat provides sanctuary, but for people, mortals like us, not for Malachim. People should not be buried in the Ir Miklat. How do I know that? The pasuk says, It's for living, not for dying. The obvious question is of course our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that he's to be buried in the Ir Miklat. So the Gemara makes the obvious distinction. Look, the Rotzeach, He is sentenced to the Ir Miklat. Sham, that's where he is, and that's where he'll stay, and that's where he'll be even post mortem. So in other words, that's where he's gonna be. And then in the death of the Kohen Gadol, so then you can exhume the bones and send it back to his ancestral plot. But until that point in time, he's in the Ir Miklat. But a resident of the Ir Miklat, a Levi, who's just a simple resident of the Ir Miklat, so they're gonna have their burial plots outside of the city. Now, the Gemara notes that we have another Braisa, and the Braisa says, where do you set up your residence? In the city, not in the Tchum. Sounds like that the Tchum is not providing a protection, a klita. The Gemara says, look, as far as absorption is concerned, as far as protection is concerned, you will be protected whether you're in the city proper or whether you're in the Tchum of the city. Clear. In terms of where you should set up residence, in the city, not in the tchum. Ladur typically deinos in sadim migrash v'lo migrash adiv v'lo migrash ir v'lo ir migrash. The Gemara says, yeah, but you know what? The ir levim have very clear delineated zoning laws. In fact, they're mentioned in the Torah. The Torah gives absolute clarity, and the Gemara in Erechin spells this out with even more clarity, but the Torah is very clear in terms of that outside of the city, it's zoned for, there's a migrash, there's orchards, in other words, but you can't turn it into residential living. So why over here do we have a drasha talking about the tchum of the city when the Torah itself spells out that immediately outside the city, it is not zoned for residence? So Rav Shesha says, okay, you're right. In terms of the above ground view of the city, so immediately outside the city, so the zoning laws obviously will ban resident. However, let's say you want to go right outside the city and underground. You want to make for yourself like a little basement outside of the city, but within the tchum. That is what we're learning now via drasha. The drasha is telling us that even that you're not allowed to do. Again, to set up residence, it has to be in the city proper. Sorry, I butchered the reading, but Rav Yosef Galili says that for the actual Gol Adam himself, it's a mitzvah, and for everyone else, permission. The ideas of Tchum are presented vis-a-vis Shabbos, meaning most of the halachas that we know regarding Tchum apply to Shabbos, but now we're using the idea of Tchum and applying it also to Klita as well. That's going to provide an absorption.
But Tchum of the city doesn't have any meaning for Shabbat, because it's individual, as Ben said.
For Shabbat, there's a Tchum of the city. It's not an individual. Let's do this quickly. On Shabbos, if you're living in a city, the tchum, your tchum is tied to the city.
Right. It's from 1,000 meters from
Listen, what I'm saying is correct. For Shabbat, if you're in a city, your tchum is the city's tchum. You're tied to the city, you're part of the city, your tchum is... The only time we talk about your tchum and moving your tchum is talking about when you're outside of a city. But if you're in a city, your tchum is the city's tchum. You can go anywhere you want within the city, and you can go 2,000 amas outside of the city. And then on top of that, then you have an option of extending. And it's not really extending. It's really recentering your position. Okay. Rabbi Akiva Omer Rishus Biyad Gol Adam V'Chol Adam Chayav V'Nalav. And again, like we learned back in the Mishnah, according to Rabbi Akiva, for the Gol Adam himself, just permission, not a mitzvah. And for everybody else, again, the reading we have in our Gemara is Chayav V'Nalav, meaning nobody else is allowed to kill him. According to the Gaon's reading, everybody else in Chayav V'Nalav, meaning not recommended, not preferred, really shouldn't do it, but for everybody else, you're not going to be convicted if you do so. My time is Rav Yosef Galila Mikstiv Im Ratzach. So, Rav Yosef Galila, who looks at it as a mitzvah, the Torah doesn't say Im Ratzach, the Torah says Rotzeach. Rabbi Kiva Mikstiv Yirtzach. And according to Rabbi Kiva, yeah, but you know what? The Torah doesn't say Yirtzach as an instruction, as a mitzvah. So, basically, the Torah itself slightly ambiguous in terms of whether or not it's a mitzvah to kill the, for the Gol Adam to kill, or just simply a rishos. Amar mazuch bartuvi amar rav rotzech sheyatzach chutz etchum umatzu Gol Adam vahargo nerag alav. The Gemara quotes an opinion of an Amora in the name of Rav, that when the rotzech leaves the tchum of his ir miklat, and the Gol Adam discovers him and kills him, nerag alav, the Gol Adam is put to death. Meaning, according to this opinion, the Gol Adam does not have license to kill the Rotzeach. Now the Gemara says, now, that's hard to understand. Who is he holding like? Right now, I don't have an option. Rabbi Akiva says it's a Rishos. Rabbi Yosef Galili says it's a mitzvah. But either position allows for the Gol Adam to kill the Rotzeach. And meanwhile, this Shita of an Amora says, no, no permission. What is that? So who damer ki aitana? The Gemara says, really, there is another opinion, just not in the Mishnayos, in a Braisa. Titanya Rabbi Eliezer Omer Anamdu Lufnea Eda Lemishpat Matamalomer Lufishan Emer Vratzach Gol Adam Es Vratzach Yachol Miyad Tamalomer Adamdu Lufnea Eda Lemishpat. According to this Braisa, the Gol Adam wants to kill the Rotzeach, they have to go to court. Now, there's so many questions over here logistically how this works. I'm not really sure how it works, to be honest with you. Meaning that the Rotzeach left the Yer Miklat, and now according to this opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, so now the Gol Adam wants to exercise an option of killing the Rotzeach, you have to take him to court. Outside of the Yer Miklat, because he left the Yer Miklat. Logistically, it doesn't sound like, it just sounds complicated, but that is an opinion, and what Rav was doing was Rav was following that opinion. Rav Yosef, Rabbi Akiva, Hay Adam Dulifnei Adil Mishpat, My Darshi Bay. Now, according to Rabbi Akiva and Rav Yosef Galila, what do they do with that pasuk? Obviously, they don't darshan that pasuk the way Rabbi Eliezer does. The Gemara explains, "I only buy lelechet etanya." Rabbi Akiva, Omer Minan Lechstan Hedjin Shirau Echad Shaharag Es Nefesh Emem Misen Oso Ashiyamud BeBeizin. So Ashiyamdu BeBeizin Acher Tamalamer Adam Dulifnei Adil Mishpat Ashiyamdu BeBeizin Acher. So what Rav Yosef and Rabbi Akiva do with this pasuk is they darshan it for another halacha. Imagine Beis Din seeing the actual murder itself. Beis Din is present at the murder. And so now, trial. So Beis Din, if this Beis Din were to try this murderer, what kind of trial would he have? The Beis Din actually saw the murder. They're going to have a very hard time arguing any other way than other than for a conviction. And so what's required under these circumstances is that this Beis Din, interestingly, is ineligible to try this person for a murder. He's going to be brought to another court. Obviously, the members of this Beis Din are going to be serving as witnesses for the case. I assume that's so. In other words, but still, in other words, you need a fair trial for a murderer, and you can't have the Beis Din, who actually saw the murder, be the Sanhedrin trying the case. Tana Rabbanan. Im Yatsa Rotzeach. Im Yatso Yatsa Rotzeach. The pasuk says, if the Rotzeach were to leave the Ir Miklat, but the Torah uses the double language im yatzo yatzo. What are we getting from the double language? Ainli ala be meizah b'shogeg minayin tamalomer im yatzo yatzo mikol makom. Oh, What if the Rotzeach, while taking a walk in the Ir Miklat, his head now is in the clouds, and he's walking, and he doesn't realize that, hey, he just exited the Ir Miklat, he just exited the Tchom, and now he walked outside, but not intentionally. Can the Goel Adam now kill the Rotzeach, who with his head in the clouds is now totally outside the city? So the Braisa, the Gemara just quotes the Braisa, Yatso Yatsa Mikom Akom. Doesn't matter why the Rotzeach left the Ir Miklat. If he left intentionally, unintentionally, he left. And therefore, the Goel Adam has the right to kill him. V'atanya b'meizeh nerag b'shogeg Goleh. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we have another Braisa that says no. The other Braisa says that the only time that the Goel Adam can kill the Rotzeach if he intentionally leaves the Ir Miklat. Which, again, practically speaking, logistically speaking, yeah, how? The determination is what? Right? The Goel Adam says to the Rotzeach, hi. And Rotzeach says, hi. What are you doing out here? Okay.
The Goel Adam is one of the six possible inheritors that is...
I'm not sure.
Is it designated by the Bedin or the family?
So it's straightforward question. I don't know. I don't know. In other words, we're going to talk in just a moment about a son. We're going to talk about a grandson. So I don't know. I don't know what the relatives are in terms of the Goel Adam.
Okay. Here it says that the Rambam says that the six people, parents, brothers.
Right.
It says only one of them is supposed to be doing it, but it doesn't say how it's selected.
Okay, I don't know. So lo kasha hakaman damar amin and dibur Torah kolashem b'nei Adam hakaman damar lo amin and dibur Torah kolashem b'nei Adam, and the Gemara says like this. Look, are we going to darshan yatsa yatsa with a special drasha or not? So the Gemara says this is predicated on the question of whether or not Dibur Torah Kolashim B'nei Adam, meaning as we've said a number of times throughout Shas, sometimes the Torah uses repetitive language because that was the common language that was spoken. And obviously every word of the Torah is invaluable, special, etc., etc., etc. But sometimes the Torah uses that double language because that's the common language that was spoken at the time. If you subscribe to that general viewpoint, so the Yatso Yatsa is not for a drasha. If, however, you don't apply the rule of Dibur Torah so liberally, so then every word is subject to a drasha. Yatso Yatsa would include not only someone who exits intentionally, but even a Rotzeach who exits unintentionally. Amar Abai Mesabra Kaman Damar Dibur Torah Kolashem B'nei Adam Shalei Yisofa Chama Mitzchlasa. Abai says, look, if I'm going to make an argument, I'm going to say that if this Rotzeach left the Ir Miklat unintentionally, don't kill him. Goel Adam doesn't have a right to kill him. Matchila b'meizeh nerag b'shogeg Goleh, af sofa b'meizeh nerag b'shogeg Goleh. Looks as Abaye. Let's argue this. Okay? I mean, not us. But Abaye says, but let me make the following argument. The actual original murder, if he did so b'shogeg, he gets an opportunity to go into Galus. So now, he's walking out of the Ir Miklat b'shogeg. You don't think he's going to get now an opportunity to just simply turn around and go back into Galus? It can't be that the unintentional walking out of the Ir Miklat should be more chamer than the actual original murder itself. Okay. Tinichad afsharag beno nasa lagol adam v'tanya idach ein beno nasa lagol hadam. Okay. Rachmanus, the father killed his very own son b'shogeg, and now who's going to be the Goel Adam? So Ben just asked me. So there could be a lot of candidates, but let's just right now assume that there's another son, and now the son has an opportunity to be the Goel Adam, but that would of course mean to kill his very own father in order to avenge the death of his brother. So, correct. As Thanksgiving is approaching, by the way, I imagine that Thanksgiving dinner is going to be slightly uncomfortable. I just can imagine. So, hi, Dad. So anyway, sorry. Okay. So he's now going into the so should the son kill the father as a Goel Adam? One Braisa says yes and the other Braisa says no, and obviously that's called the Machlokas. What is it going to be predicated on? So the Gemara makes a first suggestion. The Gemara says Lema ha Rabbi Yossi Galila ha Rabbi Kiva. So the Gemara says, I think I know. Look, with the Goel Adam is commanded to kill the Rotzeach, or just simply permitted to kill the Rotzeach. That was a machlokas in our Mishnah. Seemingly now, that could explain the two sides of this issue. If it's the mitzvah, so then the son should kill the father. And if it's just a reshus, so the son shouldn't kill his very own father. So the Gemara says, "V'tizbra bein laman dam mitzvah bein laman dam reshus misharib v'amirabba baravuna v'chein tanda be Rav Yishmael l'chol ein haben nas eshlich la'aviv la'kosol kalaso chutz mi'meitz shari amar tor losach mav losachas alav." The Gemara says that, come on, we know that a son cannot be the even an arm of Beis Din. Meaning, let's say the father was chayv malchus. Let's say the father was needed to be put in cherem nidui. So, and now the son is just acting as an agent of Beis Din, shlich Beis Din. Not allowed. Not allowed to give his father malchus. Not allowed to put his father in cherem. Meaning, cannot do that even b'derech mitzvah. Being a shlich Beis Din is a mitzvah. And so, over here, the Gemara says, so even if you subscribe to Rabbi Akiva's viewpoint that the Goldam has a mitzvah to kill his father, but you can't be exercising any kind of punishment towards one's father. So the Gemara says, so we're kind of stuck, right? Elolokasha, habibno, habibembino. So the Gemara makes now the following distinction between the two brisas. If it's the son who is the Goldam towards his father, so no, you can't kill your father. In other words, whether you hold it's a mitzvah, whether you hold it's rishus, a son cannot kill his father, even as a Goldam. With the other brisa, who says that the son can be a gol adam to his father, is talking about a case where, who was the murderer? The grandfather. The grandfather ends up killing his father by a b'shogeg, and now the son has the right now to be the gol adam for his father and killing his very own grandfather. There is a much discussed Rashi right here. Read the Rashi, I'll read the Rashi inside. Elokasha habiv no habiv en bino. Had de tanya ein bino nasa gol adam biv no shal vatsayach kamar. The had de tanya bino nasa lo gol adam biv no shal harug kamar. Shu ben bino shal vatsayach. The son is the son of the murdered, meaning, and the grandson of the murderer. And then Rashi ends off by writing, eino muzda al kvodo. And you know that there is no azhara in the Torah, there's no is in the Torah for a grandson to honor his grandfather. And so, as opposed to a son to his father, where there's a mitzvah of kibud av v'aim, so the son can't kill the father. Mitzvah, rishus, doesn't matter. Son can't kill the father, even as a gol adam. But if it's for the grandfather, Rashi writes, there's no mitzvah of kibud av v'aim for the grandfather, and so therefore the grandson can kill the grandfather. Does Rashi mean over here that literally there's no mitzvah of kibud av v'aim for one's grandfather? Now, it could be. And this is why this Rashi over here is a launching pad for a lengthier discussion, much lengthier discussion, of whether or not there's a mitzvah of honoring your grandfather, meaning as part and parcel of the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim. Certainly honoring your grandparent as a mitzvah of honoring an elder, that's fine. But in other words, as honoring your parents, as a function of mitzvah of kibud av v'aim, that's obviously a lengthier discussion. Rashi over here seems to be taking a strong point on that issue, but again, much more discussed issue. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Let's start the next Mishnah. I just want to at least begin. I know we're not going to finish the sugya. Ilan shu omed b'toch hatchum v'nofa note chutz hatchum. O omed chutz hatchum v'nofa note b'soch hatchum hakol holech achar hanof. A tree. A tree has a trunk and a tree has branches. Okay? In terms of what is the signature identifying marker of the tree, meaning where are we going to place the tree? Is it going to be based on the trunk or is it going to be based on the branches? Interesting. In other words, without any knowledge, you can easily say, well, the trunk, of course, is going to be the most important part of the tree. It's interesting. The Mishnah's position is no, that's not the case at all. But rather, it's where the branches lie. Where the branches lie is going to be the ikar of the tree. I know it's so funny. I say ikar, meaning it's not physically the root of the tree, but halachically, it's the central point of the tree. That now means that if the branches are in the ir miklat and the trunk is outside of the ir miklat, or I should say better, outside of the tchum of the ir miklat. So as long as the guy is holding on to the trunk, so he's safe, he's protected. Okay. Reminu. The Gemara says, now I'll tell you the problem with that, because Ilan Shu Omed, Venot Lachutz Omed Bachutz Venot Lefnim, Mechenegat Achama Vlefnim Kalefnim, Mechenegat Achama Vlachutz Kalachutz, Kalachutz. So basically, in terms of the halachas of Maaser Sheni, where we know that you're only allowed to eat the Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim proper, we know that once the Maaser Sheni produce is brought into Yerushalayim, you're not allowed to take it out. What if there's a tree and branch that is on both sides of the wall of Yerushalayim? The trunk is in one side. The branches are on the other side. What's the critical point? Very simple. Wherever the wall is. In other words, it doesn't matter whether the branches are inside and the trunk is outside. It doesn't matter if the trunk is inside and the branches are outside. The critical point is the wall. And so what the Gemara is bothered by is that when it comes to the halachas of Ir Miklat, the branches themselves serve as the central location of the tree. Everything follows the branches of the tree. Masha Enkim, when it comes to the halachas of Maaser Sheni, everything follows the wall. The Gemara, you're probably thinking the same thing. Maaser Ari Miklat Karamis. So what are you doing? You're asking a question from Maaser Sheni to the halachas of Ir Miklat. Maaser Bechoma Tal Rachmana, Ari Miklat Bedira Tal Rachmana. But no for mitar lei biikaro, lo mitar lei. So the Gemara says, how could you be asking a question from Maaser Sheni to Ir Miklat? It's an obvious difference. When in Ir Miklat, what is providing him the sanctuary? It's where he's living. And in other words, when it comes to a tree, where does a person live? In the trunk or under the branches? People live under the branches. So in other words, that's why for Ir Miklat, since it is all a function of dira, of where you're living, and since people live in the branches, not in the trunk, so therefore, it's going to the halacha of the tree will be determined by where the branches are. When it comes to the Maaser Sheni, everything's contingent on the wall. The wall is obviously the ikaron. So therefore, are you interior to the wall? You eat your Maaser Sheni. If you're exterior to the wall, you don't eat your Maaser Sheni. And the tree, even though the trunk is one place, the branches another place, are not going to make a difference. The wall is the end-all be-all. Okay, this is where we'll pause over here tomorrow. We'll pick it up from the very bottom, where the Gemara is going to note that there's still going to be a steer within Maaser Sheni.